And what's the name of the community you live in?
Highline Crossing, Cohogan Community.
How did it get its name?
Well, that's pretty interesting. I'm sure Don didn't know this. When the community first came together, because they had an appreciation for the land, mm-hmm. they were trying to come up with names that had to do with land. And one of them at some point was called, I think Foxfire was one of the names. So they were taking on names that had to do somehow with land. And when they bought this piece of land, that bridge was there. And it basically came out of the fact that our land sits on the Highline Canal, uh-huh. and there's the bridge crossing there. And I don't know if you've seen one of our, probably haven't, there's a shirt in the Common House right now. I'll look at it tomorrow. Well, if we have time. Anyhow, our logo is that bridge. We actually have the picture in the Common House of the bridge and the trees. So it came out of where we live and respect for the land, basically. Uh-huh. That's from my understanding of it.
Did you have some predisposition to community? Did your parents, for example, have communal or cooperative interests?
My dad was in a religious community when he was studying to be a priest before he met my mother. So in some ways, because he had that affinity and I grew up Catholic, when I actually was going to become a nun, I moved to Dayton, Ohio to look at a particular religious order. And they're a community order. They live in community. But their communities are within, this is the Society of Mary in Dayton, Ohio. And they live in small communities throughout the communities they're in. And they have houses of 8 to 10 of their religious community. So I became part of one of those communities as a layperson. I worked in one of the communities, a center called John 23 Center for Christian Renewal, which had its own religious community as well as the staff, and I was part of the volunteer staff. So I already had affinity to community at that point. And then sometime during that time, I was part of two different communities. One was a religious community of people who started basically the underground movement of the Catholic Church for kind of renewal. Uh-huh. So I was part of an underground Catholic community that had its own services and things. Then after Charlie and I married, who was also studying to be a priest when I met him, after we got married, we became part of a small Catholic community that was no longer underground, a church community. And then we became part of an intentional community that were made up of Catholics, but it wasn't Catholic as such. It was just a bunch of people who were Catholic. And we were looking for housing to be an intentional community. Mm-hmm. And that was 72, 73. The first community I was part of was in 1968, 69. So intentional community is something I've been around for a long time. When I came out to Colorado, I'm trying to think what we did. Well, we became part of a university Catholic community, you know, a church community. But when we moved to Denver, we get a holistic newspaper, and Highline Crossing was advertising it. And I looked at this community through its advertisement for almost a year before I actually got here, uh-huh. before I ever knew my husband, which is how I got there. So it's been part of my existence, and I prefer to work in community base. Uh-huh. Have always preferred that. I like being part of a community. Uh-huh. And have found one form or another of a way of doing that. The small Catholic communities who belonged in Dayton, Ohio, some of them were relatively small, and we did a fair amount of activity together over time, not just religious things, but we did, you know, lots of together activities.
Uh-huh. What kinds of books or other literature do you read, have you read that influence you or having that did influence you as you began or continue to live in community?
I haven't read a whole lot. For a while I was looking at Full Housing magazine that's out there, and I've got the one called Community System. I read some of the early co-housing books, but they were more descriptive. They weren't really experiential. I like more experiential things, which is why I like the magazines. You know, a lot of what I've done since I've been in this community has been more around bringing people in who've done this, a mentoring process, so to speak. And actually, being part of a mentoring process as opposed to doing a lot of reading. There still isn't a whole lot of information out there that I can tell. Now, I saw some of the books that I brought today, and I've read some of those, but some of that's because I'm a therapist and I've looked at some of these things. But I haven't done a lot of direct reading around communities as such.
Okay.
It's been more experiential.
What is daily life like?
In a community?
Mm-hmm. I miss communities.
Well, we have a phrase around here. Anytime you come or go, it could take you a half hour to an hour to get home because you stop along the way and you interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that depends on the time of day you leave. I mean, if I leave early in the morning, I don't see anybody or I see very few people. There is daily interaction, generally speaking, with somebody in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Either people I've got close to or in the course of doing activities for the teams I belong to. Like Thursday I saw two or three contractors. What did I do yesterday? We were getting ready for this. Oh, I spent a couple hours with Laird and dealing with that, and then I met with you.
Mm-hmm.
And today, of course, I've been in meetings. Tomorrow I'll be in meetings. This week I'll be painting the bathroom in the common house.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some kind of daily activity, whether it's around business in the community or just personal interaction. I meditate every morning. I'm part of the group that Mary talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So every morning I start with meditating with a group of people. There are three or four of us at a given time. I work on the property, so I work for somebody in the community, and go down there about 8 o'clock. And in between I do things for the team. I'm on the buildings and grounds team, so because I work on the property, I do a fair amount of interaction with contractors that we deal with. I haven't done as many meals recently. My diet is I blew it today, but my diet's pretty straight, so it's harder to eat over there. Because Kurt calls food that we eat in common house when it comes to Egyptian food. It's not the healthiest.
Right.
Although there are a lot of vegetarians here now, it's gotten better, but even vegetarians don't eat. That meal we had last night is not healthy for me.
Uh-huh.
I ate it, but it's not how I should be eating. So I don't as commonly eat meals these days because I can't eat that kind of like meat.
Uh-huh.
And I can, you know, if I need to, I can always find somebody to interact with. Sometimes it doesn't happen. One of the nice things that I've always appreciated, like one day I got really caught and I couldn't get home, and I can call a neighbor and say, would you please put the dogs out?
Uh-huh.
You know, there's really always somebody. Inevitably, Kurt is calling me, even though we're getting divorced, he's calling me for something, and can you do this, or can you? And that happens a fair amount around here that we do that for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Daily living is individual, but there's usually community involvement of some sort. Usually more community involvement on the weekends and in the summer. In the winter, people tend to hole up. We don't do as much in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Does the community have any central religion or ideology?
No.
Yeah.
That
are there any rituals or ceremonies?
Well, and we talked about that a bit tonight. We do have rituals, and some of them are centered around the religious holidays, but they're not really religious. We have there are certain days that the common house is held for the community and nobody else can use it.
Uh-huh.
And those holidays are Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. Those are three holidays that other people can't use the common house unless there's some kind of process to go through. But the rituals we have at this point are really interesting. I'll just kind of go through them. I'll start with New Year's. On New Year's, we have a New Year's Eve party every year.
Mm-hmm.
On St. Patrick's Day, there is a St. Patrick's Day dinner, whether it's on St. Patrick's Day or around it. We have a Mardi Gras,
mm-hmm.
Usually the weekend before Ash Wednesday, and even though that's a religious thing, it's not done as a religious activity.
Mm-hmm.
We have Easter egg coloring, and then we have Easter egg hunt on Easter. Memorial Day, inevitably, we have some kind of party,
mm-hmm.
Usually an outside sort of thing. I gotta go through them because there are a number of them. There's usually something that goes on the 4th of July, and a lot of times we've been able to sit out here and watch fireworks from where we are. Labor Day is another day that we have an outside party. Thanksgiving, we have a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a Christmas decorating party that we do every year that we decorate Christmas cookies, as well as we have a party to put the tree up. Then we have a party, we have a Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt and I had a ritual and had done this for quite a number of years. We have an open house. Individuals will do individual things. The Farrells do St. Patrick's Day. They also do Oktoberfest, which is a huge meal that almost everybody comes to. Last few years, I haven't been here when it happens. We have a Halloween. We've had haunted houses. But the rituals are not religious rituals. We don't have many, if any, as Dan said tonight. We have some atheists. I think he's the only atheist, but he gets real uptight if you do anything that looks religious.
Mm-hmm.
But at Thanksgiving, we have done kind of Thanksgiving rituals. We'll stand in a huge group and go around and give thanks for something. Individually, we've had meditation groups. We've done clearings on the property, the ritual clearings, like Native American type clearings.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a group right now that is doing some land clearing again. The meditation group we do prayers with that. But that's not a community thing, but there are individuals in the community who do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of kind of rituals that we have, but I wouldn't call them specifically religious rituals.
Okay. How are chores and housework handled? I know there isn't really any housework. You got the common house.
Well, there is. we're still arguing about that. This community is almost 10 years old, and we still, obviously, from the discussion you heard earlier tonight, we have no agreement about how to do work around here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been... I have a theory about this. Because there wasn't an ideological base from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
I think it made it difficult to create something around responsibilities, one. Two, and I think I told you this story, maybe it was Larry, when this community was conceived, it was conceived on the land next door here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you may not hear my voice over here. That piece of land had 9 acres. This land has 3.6 acres. So when that got bought out, they had put money into it and everything, but when it got bought out, this was like second best and they made it do.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some real difficulties with this piece of land, one of them is parking. But I think because they ended up in second best, that was one problem. The primary motivators in this particular organization, and this is really kind of interesting, out of the four people who started this community, only one ended up in it.
Mm-hmm.
There was Kurt and Wendy, and then this other couple, Marcia, and I don't remember her husband's name, Becker. she was the one doing a graduate study about alternative housing, got real excited about this, and went to a talk by Jim Leach, who does logical housing community, she's a developer. And they met with him and got all excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started having meetings in southern Denver to do this. Well, Becker's opted out, and I'd have to ask why. I think they just kind of lost interest in it. And Wendy and Kurt divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I actually met Kurt 2 days, I want to say 2 days after he moved in here. It was very close to time he moved in here. And Kurt is a person who, because he had kind of a rigid dad,
uh-huh.
went into no rules.
Uh-huh.
And Ginger is one of those persons.
Yeah.
Although she has some strong rules, no rules. The fewer rules, the better.
Uh-huh.
So what happened when this place was formed, they formed it with very few guidelines or structures, even though they had a process manual. There is a story they tell. They had trouble selling. And I understand why, as I hear the story. They had a trailer, they had a self trailer before the buildings were up. People would walk into this trailer, there'd be diapers on the floor, kids crawling around, people sitting on top of chairs, not sitting in the chairs, but on top of chairs, with Tevas and no shirts and shorts on, selling houses.
Mm-hmm.
Not very professional.
Right.
So it was a really loose organization. Very, very loose. And there's a photo in the common house up in the beginning, and you could see. You know, we're not even professional just at that point. So I think there weren't enough rules. There weren't enough guidelines to say who your rights and responsibilities. Because of that, in the beginning, a lot of people were gung-ho, but we had one person who was really gung-ho about landscape, so he really did a whole lot of the landscaping by himself. And other people had other talents, and they did those kind of things. But I think that it was because they had a passion for it, not because there was a ground rule that says people would participate in a particular way. Now, at this point, the common duties are grounds, the common house, and buildings. Those are the three big areas, and finance. Four big areas that we have chores in. The biggest chores are managing the property, doing the finances. The common house, that's actually done much more as a team effort than can be. They separate out. We have members who are paid to clean the common house. We tried with people cleaning it voluntarily, and that did not work. So the common house is taken care of by the team and volunteers. People are paid to mow the lawns now. Then the rest of us are not paid. The one who does the books, Don's wife does the bookkeeping, although I think Don does a lot of it. And then my team, the grounds and buildings, either one person or a number of people take on projects or take on part of the maintenance. We have one person who does all the irrigation stuff, or he contracts for it, doesn't have to do it, he can contract for it. But it's all by volunteer. There is no requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And hence things are not very efficient sometimes. So we have a list of chores, and people just kind of stood up and said, I'll do it. Or some of us do a lot of it.
What's the relationship with the surrounding culture like?
Well, you saw we had dinner last night with our city councilman. Actually, it was Mayor Pro Tem. I was surprised to see that.
He's going to be the mayor? Yeah.
Well, Mayor Pro Tem, I think, means that somebody opted out. He's in there until they put somebody in. I think that's how that goes.
Uh-huh.
I think we've tried to do a good job of keeping connections with the surrounding areas. We actually live in a business park. You probably noticed that. There are only two residential places in here, and that's the apartments next to us, which are never quite considered residential, and then there's us. There's apparently another building going in that's going to be both residential and business. in one building.
Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming a little more common. We've been part of the South Park Board. We aren't right now. I don't remember why that happened. I think you get elected and somebody else is elected, and we were kind of elected out. But John and Kirk have both been on that board for the 10 years we've been here, so that we still have a fair amount of connection with the Homeowners Association of the business park that we live in. And I think there have been times where people have made an effort to communicate with the city of Littleton. And we have contacts, not only with the city, but there's an architectural board that covers South Park that we keep track. We keep connected to them. We try occasionally to go out and do kind of goodwill talks with,
mm-hmm.
around the community.
You ever had any problems with apartments, the people next door?
Yes. In the summer, especially in our house, the big house, they'll have parties over there,
mm-hmm.
and they get really loud. That I'll never forget one night. This is some years ago, because Rod lived, oh my God, Rod lived there. There was this guy who lived down here, and he lived next to us, and he held out his windows one night. They have a tendency, towards the end of the school year, there are parties that seem to go on over there.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot. Not a whole lot.
Is there a relationship between psychedelics in the community? Are drugs used? What drugs? How often? By most residents or only some?
I'm not aware of any psychedelics being used in the property. This is a fairly, you can tell, this is an older community.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I'm trying to think, well, the couple that's in one of the rentals right now, the youngest here, they're probably in there. Kurt used to be the youngest. When he moved in, he was only like 31. He's now been here, so he's getting close to 40 now. So we haven't had a whole lot of young culture that is into psychedelic stuff. I'm not aware we've ever had psychedelics on the property. It's possible. We have had a couple of men on the property who do pot and alcohol. And one of those men got violent enough that the couple actually split up finally. That
mm-hmm.
was one huge for the hand.
Mm-hmm.
There may be still some pot going. I was made aware about a week and a half ago that maybe one person distributed pot on the property, but most people...
Is that a problem, though? I mean, as long as they do it in the privacy of their own home, or...
Oh, they usually do it in garages, unfortunately. No, it hasn't been a problem.
Do you think the community would have a problem if people were smoking marijuana in their backyard or something?
Oh, yeah, I don't think they would tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
You have too many kids.
Okay, so it's more because of children around.
We have children around, and I wouldn't want it around myself. I mean, that you're invading people's space when you're outside smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around secondhand pot smoking, and it does affect you. I'm not sure most of us would tolerate it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them who have done it have either done it in their own homes or in the garages with doors closed, so. It's never really been an issue. You know, some of us could tell you who's done it.
Right.
Some people have no clue it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, I really don't think there's ever been anyone talking on the property.
Yeah.
It's possible somebody did cocaine along the way, but I wouldn't know who they were.
Right.
And I had my notes about that.
Okay.
Alcohol, of course. We have alcohol, and we have come with alcohol at parties, and we have alcohol there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And some people...
Martinis last night.
They drink every week. Jim is a pretty regular drinker, as is Don, actually. And you know that. Over
mm-hmm.
time, you know who does what and how they do it and that kind of stuff. There's some of us who drink and some of us who don't. I don't drink. I don't do well with alcohol. I'm not alcoholic, I'm just allergic to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think people are pretty tolerant of the way. It's not
an issue.
Not that I can tell.
What is the relationship between sexual expression and community? What sexual rules and attitudes and practices are present?
Yeah, I believe we, well, I don't, I think there's a great, fairly strong tolerance for that. When I moved in, Kurt and I were not married.
Mm-hmm.
We've had everything from same-sex couples to couples who aren't married and who've been together to people who go through relationships and people who are married.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been, in this particular community, sexual activity between the adults live here who may live with other people.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
That you know of.
we'd know. You really would know.
You'd know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that would... There isn't much that gets by around here. Because, like Dan said, you know, he comes home late at night. You usually know what's going on. We do. I think she said we have our token lesbians. And we have a situation, and I don't, and this is, there's no secret about this, but I don't know if Don would talk about it. His wife had two lesbian lovers before they met.
Oh, really?
Yes. And everybody knows it. And I'm sure Don knows that she had to have told him because
right.
There are too many of us here who knew it.
Right.
She had gone through a pretty mini divorce, so she was with women for a while. And actually, she and a woman who were bought, the ones that bought the house they're in,
mm-hmm.
and then they split and she met Don. I don't know how that all happened. And Carol and Joanne are a gay couple who really felt welcome when they came here because
mm-hmm.
of their orientation. We're concerned and it was not an issue. Although I was thinking about it earlier today, there was an issue for them, but I bet you there would be an issue for two men in the room.
Think there would?
I do. I think there would be more concern with that.
Who do you think would raise the problem?
I don't know if they'd raise the problem, but there would be probably a definitive... You know how they said we... how did he put it this morning, that we gave lip service to kids?
Mm-hmm.
I think people would be very offish with a gay male couple. I really do. Although Joanne and Carol have, let's see, whose son is it? I think it's Carol's son is gay and has his partner, and they have a baby
mm-hmm.
that they have brought here. And they seem fine. We also have... I gotta think about this. Darlene has a son who's gay, and he's brought his partner too. But if someone were living here, I think they would not as easily be welcomed in as women are.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my gut about it. There are some people...
I think that's the way it is in society
mm-hmm.
overall.
Oh, I agree.
I don't understand why, but...
I don't either, except they think it's more deviant or something. I people will say that. Charlie and I had a real... group set of friends who were two males who were very, they were in Fort Collins and very involved with them. One of them was the registrar for CSU and they couldn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that is.
How has your life the question is, how has your life after the community been affected by the experience? But you're still in the community, so how?
Read it the first time again, because I think it was right.
How has your life after the community been affected by the experience?
Oh, you mean after leaving?
Yeah, I think that's what it means. But how has it changed your life now? Or has it?
Oh, yeah. There's companionship here. You know, I asked for what I wanted today, and several people came up and hugged me today.
Mm-hmm.
When you're willing to break down in front of a group, they're willing to really be present.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to watch the three of us who fell apart. I'm not sure I've ever seen Debbie cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Martha cry. I'm sure they've seen me cry, right. But because I've, you know, been going through a lot in the last few months. There's a companionship here. You can always find someone somewhere. I mean, it's very, not very often you can't find anybody. If all else fails, Carol's home. Carol is our oldest member, and she's 84 years old, so she's rarely not home. We can come to each other for things, like simply, can you take the dogs out? Uh-huh. I called Leland last week, and Leland's... You know, I wonder sometimes how people get here. Dan, who was there tonight, very introverted, very rarely. I was so pleased that I asked him, and he came tonight, because he doesn't very often come to things. Leland's another one. Leland's probably getting close to 70. But we call him a curmudgeon, because he can be so cranky, and then he usually apologizes, but he still gets pretty cranky. But last week I was going up to the mountains to go to a meditational dance on Saturday night, and then the sunrise dance in the morning, and I didn't want to come back down. But I didn't know this until really late because of the weather. I wasn't sure I was going to do it. So very late, like just before I left on Saturday, I called and said, can you take care of my dog? No big deal. Uh-huh. Jim Tynan, who lives right across from me, his wife went away this week, and I wondered, because Elizabeth, one of our other neighbors, comes over and she takes the dog out. I mean, uh-huh. and Jim has called me and said, can you take my dog out? Uh-huh. So there is a cooperation that goes on that's kind of a flowing cooperation, isn't it? Have to do this well ahead of time or uh-huh. you know, that kind of
thing. Pretty easy going.
Yeah, yeah. We have a number of professionals here. Mary, who's in the meetings today, does Jinshin, which is an energy group. Uh-huh. And, you know, I've said, I'm falling apart, can you do this?
Uh-huh.
We have another person who's massage. We have a number of massage therapists. So we have some of those kind of things that are here and we make use of them.
Uh-huh.
We have a number of body workers. It's affected me in ways that I can more easily, in an easygoing way, ask for what I want and have it happen. One of the really neat things was at Thanksgiving. It was a little bit awkward because we were still in the same house. Kurt wanted his divorce, and that happened in October. But I couldn't move out. I moved out in February. And in the process of the holidays coming, Jim and Valerie had to come, maybe met them last night. Anyhow, just Valerie came up and said, would you like to spend it with us? We'd love to have you. That kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You don't always have to go out and ask. Some people will come to you.
Uh-huh.
So there's more give and take, I think, than there is in all the neighborhood. And I've become very close to these people, and I'm, you know, that's part of my problem around this divorce. I really don't want to leave here. And I've really worked at such with my husband to say, I'm staying. He went through an angry period of, I don't care where you live, and he's mellowed out around that. And I think he appreciates that. I'm still here and still positive. You know.
On good terms?
Depends. Generally, yes. Part of the issue we've had is Kurt can be pretty brutally assaulted. And I started being very clear that this was not okay. And then when his dad died, his anger just kind of went out the window, and I'm going, this is not okay. And then he said, you're not going to need me, I'm angry, so let's get divorced. Let's just cut the cords and be as kind as we can. And he still gets into some of his fight patterns, but he's hurting. He said, I don't want to be married. He's lost his business partner. He lost his dad. I mean, he's going through massive loss, and I think it's finally starting to hit him. And I think he appreciates that I still really care about him. So he's willing to be. We went out the other night to discuss the fact that his business is falling apart, and he hadn't told me. And it makes a difference, because it may make a difference in what kind of money there is. And so he came saying, you know, on the way here, I was trying to get into your shoes and think about why this might be upsetting to you or why it might affect you. And he started going into this routine. He said, I'm trying to do this Marshall Rosenberg way. This is the nonviolent communication guy. I, in both my marriages, my first marriage I loved, but I have made it such that I want it healed. I don't want it just cut off. So, yeah, and we do have this child between us because this child was only 6 when I came into his life, and I'm part of his healthiest parent, so, you know, we have had it. He's given me freedom to be with my kid.
Uh-huh.
So, there's an article in here about how to break up and still stay in the same community. That's what I'd like to see. I don't know what the end will be yet. I'm hoping I can stay here, but I have no ability to buy this house right now.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, soon I'll know whether I have the ability. I've been trying to find somebody who will buy it so I can rent it. But uh-huh. We'll see.
Do you have any documents from your communal living experience? This isn't really communal, but...
We do. I don't personally have most of them. I have the ones that I've authored.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have lots of stuff on my computer. I used to be a lot better about taking notes. I haven't. And this last, when I came back onto this team, I got very poor at taking notes. And I used to do really well at taking notes. And I mean, part of that's because I'm going through this divorce. I just, my mind is not there. But we have documents in the community.
That's it.